Now, every day, I imagine you're like me, you get on your knees, you wonder sometimes what to say, right? At this point, every day, it's about the same as it was yesterday and the day before. So what new are you going to say to your Creator today? So you might think at those times about the sample prayer, about the issue of seeking God's will, your will be done. You're looking for God's will. You want to become what He made us all to become. What is that, though? Yeah, think about, what does He want? What is the key element or the key elements of what He wants from mankind and from us? And one scripture probably comes immediately to mind to answer that question. It's probably one of your favorite scriptures. It's one of mine. Because it asks that question and it answers it very succinctly. It's in Micah. I'm only going to refer to one verse here, Micah 6:8, that you're familiar with. Micah 6:8 begins, "He has showed you, O man, what is good." Now, Paul says in Philippians that God works in you to will and to do His good pleasure. And in Micah 6:8, he is saying God has shown us what His good pleasure is. And he goes on to say, "And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" Three things. Right? Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God. So I thought today I would address one of those things. The first of those matters, Micah calls it doing justly. And Micah has said, we just noted, that God has shown us what is good. So what has God shown us about doing justly? That's my focus today. The Hebrew word that's used there for doing justly is mishpat, and it's used hundreds of times in the Old Testament. It's a broad range of meaning. It's usually translated judgment. But in general, it just means doing the right thing, doing right. And you know what? Generally what doing right is, you know, when people do you right and when people do you wrong. But God first defines important principles of doing right, of course, in the Ten Commandments, right? First four commandments outline how to walk with God, which was the third element that Micah brought up there, how to be humble, how to be obedient. But the last six, especially numbers 6 through 9, outline basic standards for treating people right, doing right. Minimal standards, I would say, and 10 commands for doing justly. Mr. Armstrong used to say that there were two ways of life. One was the way of give and one was the way of get. And you know when people are getting from you, when you have been taken. Commandments 6 through 9 define what not to take. Right? Number 6 is not to kill, not to take a life. Number 7 is not to commit adultery, which is to take somebody else's mate. And number 8 is not to steal, which is not to take material goods. Number 9 is not to bear false witness, which is not to take justice away from someone by lying. So as God defines there what is not right to take, all those things, if you break those laws, you are being unfair to someone. And I would summarize this first principle of the three that Micah lists as being fair. That's why my title today is The Matter of Fairness. What does the Lord require of you but, I would say, to be fair? And these are not just principles confined to a courtroom. Of course, judges are required to be fair. But being fair in a courtroom is just a small subset of what God is looking for in mankind. We're not judges. We're not called to be judges. No one is going to come to us for a legal decision, but we are required to be fair in every way, in all kinds of situations, and the Bible covers those. I would say, by the way, a parallel scripture to Micah 6:8 is Matthew 23:23. In Matthew 23, Jesus is calling out the scribes and the Pharisees for their actions, which is against the spirit of God's law. He gives one example of their unfairness in verse 14 of that chapter when he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses." That is one way they're being unfair, actually closer to being unmerciful. And in verse 23, he then sums up the important issues that they're missing in God's law. And he says, "You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law." And he lists three, and I would contend they are the same three as you read in Micah 6:8. Micah says, "Do justly," or be fair, "love mercy," which is kindness, "and walk humbly with God." Jesus says the weightier matters of the law are three matters: judgment, mercy, and faith. Now, the Greek word here for judgment, krisis, is often used in the New Testament for just talking about the judgment of God. But here, it's obviously not about the judgment of God. He's talking about what the Pharisees are doing wrong and what we need to observe out of the law. They apparently use their power to gain wealth. The example from verse 14, they apparently would lend money and then foreclose. So I think here judgment could be translated and should be translated fairness when it applies to all of us in our everyday life. In Micah, it's one of the things required of us. In Jesus' words, it's one of the weightier matters. So we'll be looking at that matter of fairness here in the next few minutes. I'm not going to spend much time on the second and third weightier matters. The second, but just to show that those two verses are parallel, the second item in Micah's list is mercy, which the Hebrew word is hesed. But in Jesus, the second item is mercy as well, and the Greek word is eleos. Hesed is based on kindness, so that is, it usually describes kindness. When you think of mercy, you often think of forgiveness, but forgiveness is just one small subset of mercy. God's mercy is loving kindness. It's all kinds of good things that he does for mankind. And it's the same with the Greek word that Jesus used here, eleos. Eleos, or mercy, it's the kind of mercy that the Good Samaritan showed to the man who was beaten and robbed. Loving kindness. It's the same as the Hebrew hesed. So the second matter in God's law, which God requires of you, is kindness. Could be summarized as kindness, which is in English much broader than mercy. And the third item, similar as well. In Micah, it's walk humbly with your God. Jesus calls it faith. Now, is that the same thing? Well, I think a better translation of the Greek word pistis there in this case is faithfulness. To walk humbly with your God is to walk faithfully, with respect, with obedience. So anyway, what does God require of you to be fair? That's the subject today. By the way, these three issues sum up the two great commandments as well, don't they? To love God is to be faithful to him, and to love your neighbor is two things: to be fair and to be kind. So Micah says that God has shown us what is good. And I just referred to the Ten Commandments. That's one place, the starting place where God shows us what is good, in Exodus 20. He spoke those words directly to the people from the mountain, that they were afraid, and from then on he spoke to Moses. They could hear the sound, but they couldn't hear the words. Moses heard the words of the next three chapters, and he wrote them down in what is called the Book of the Covenant. So the Book of the Covenant describes what is good, what is fair. It's chapters 20 through 23. And in those, well, that's four chapters, 20 through 23, he dictates, as I count them, 32 principles to Moses as what is right. Of those 32 principles, as I would count them, 15 of them are about fairness. 15 out of 32. 8 are about kindness or mercy. And 9 deal with faithfulness to God, how you worship God. You can go back and read those four chapters. I'll just refer you to some of the things that are in the principles of the Book of the Covenant about fairness specifically. We'll ignore kindness and faithfulness. You don't have to write all these references down, but I'll give you the references in case you want to write fast here. In Exodus 20, you can just read Exodus 20 through 23, but in 21, 24, there's a first of a general principle about punishment equal to the crime. The punishment, of course, this is when you're not being just. I mean, this has been a minimum requirement, and you get punished for breaking the law, but in that case, the punishment is supposed to be equal to the crime. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And in 23:3, it emphasizes equality before the law. No favoritism to the rich or the poor. Equality before the law. These are three of the general principles of fairness in the Book of the Covenant. 23:7 covers bribery, perverting justice for money, using wealth to get power, in other words, or power to get wealth. Either one of them is condemned as unjust. These are principles that underlie all forms of good government, which in our society has been hard won over centuries of time, hasn't it? Particularly in England, starting with the Magna Carta, you know, taking away absolute power from the king, evolves into the English Parliament, and then extended into the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights. No cruel or unusual punishment. No. Trial by jury, blind justice, equality before the law, the rule of law, no one is above the law. These are ideas that are near and dear to the Western world, to democracies of the Western world, inspired by England and the U.S., and adopted by Western democracies, which are so far above the dictatorships and autocracies so common throughout history and still common in too much of the world today. So much of the world's problems can be traced back to not abiding by the rule of law. Hard-won principle in history. But God predated that principle 3,500 years ago in that Book of the Covenant. It's a brilliant law, made for mankind. If we had just followed it, we would have had justice and kindness. Moses, or God speaking to Moses, elaborated on the commandments in the Book of the Covenant. He elaborates on commandment number 5 about mother and father. The reference is 21:15, where he discusses the seriousness of harming or disrespecting parents. He elaborates on commandment number 6, that murder, defines murder, and it defines it more specifically in the Book of the Covenant. In 21:12, he defines the difference between murder and manslaughter. In 21:28, he defines the difference between accidental or negligent death, death caused by negligence, versus murder. They are to be distinguished. They are not the same. It's not the same punishment. And in 21:18, injury to person. You don't execute a person because of an accidental death. It's not fair. It's also not fair to escape punishment altogether for manslaughter. That's part of the Book of the Covenant. Book of the Covenant expands upon the seventh commandment, not to commit adultery. Specifically, 22:19 talks about bestiality, but in general, all forms of sex outside of marriage are condemned. Penalty was death. Death. Corruption of something that's so integral a part of marriage undermines a godly society. Commandment number 8 is greatly taking someone's goods is greatly expanded on in the Book of the Covenant. The reference is 21:16. Taking a person, kidnap, where it's equated to murder, taking a life. 21:33, loss of property by negligence or accident. 22:1-5 is about the penalties for stealing. And the penalties were worse depending upon the value, the greater value of what was stolen. 22:6, negligent destruction of property. What do you do if you were negligent and destroyed somebody's property? You've got to apply this principle to yourself. 22:7, loss of property to someone else's care, same comment. If you are caring for somebody else's property and it is lost. The taking of property in any of these forms has to be repaired according to the Book of the Covenant. Not prison time. There was no prison sentence in the law. Prison was not fair. Prison is not fair to the thief because it doesn't reform him, and it's not fair to the victim because he's not repaid. Fairness ought to do both, as in the law. Commandment number 9, false witness, is enhanced in the Book of the Covenant. The reference is 22:28, which is respect for the courts. And 23:1-2 is about perjury, a very serious offense. No punishment is described there in the Book of the Covenant. It just states that these are very great obstacles to the enforcement of fairness in the courts. Now, elsewhere, God's law defines what justice is, what is fair. I'm going to just pick out the sections in the rest of the law which define fairness. There are 8 sections. You don't have to write down all these scriptures, but you might just know which chapters contain all the laws about how to treat other people. Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19 and verse 13 says, "You shall not defraud your neighbor, neither rob him," which is, not to break the commandment, but it says, "The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with you all night until morning." That's dealing equitably, dealing fairly with employees. We all are or probably were employees. We can identify with receiving fair wages. Works in the opposite direction as well, right? We give a day's work for a day's pay. Don't shortchange our employer. That is fairness. 19. Leviticus 19:15. Verse 15. Do no unrighteousness in judgment. You shall not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. Once again, principle of no respect of persons, rich or poor. Everyone is equal before the law. Verse 16. You shall not go up and down as a talebearer among your people. That's the 9th commandment. Not only cheating, but bearing false witness, but here it calls out gossiping. That's a hard one. Gossiping. You shall not go up and down as a talebearer among your people, God said. 35 and 36. Do no unrighteousness in judgment in length, in weight, or in volume. Just balances, just weights, just ephah, and a just hin shall you have. This is just dealing fairly in business, which we do every day. Well, not every day, but often, right? This is something that applies to us all. Giving value for value. You don't use a heavy weight to measure out your portion and a light weight to measure out your customer's portions. Business deals are not supposed to have a winner and a loser. They're supposed to be fair to both sides. How much better would life be if everyone we dealt with would treat us fairly? And how valuable is it when you find somebody that you can do business with that you can trust? How much do you value such a person that you can take your car to be fixed, or a contractor to fix your house? How much easier will life be if everyone is that way? And it's just good business. Of course, from our end, in providing value, it's just good business. Okay, second section that deals with justice, God defines fairness, is in Leviticus 24. Leviticus 24. Verse 17, he that kills a man shall surely be put to death. Now that's a pretty basic level of fairness, but God defines that as fair. But then he goes on in the following verses to define exceptions to the death penalty. 18, he that kills a beast shall make it good, beast for beast. Killing a beast is not, even if it's the king's deer, you're not to be killed for executed for killing the king's deer. Verse 19, if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he has done, so it shall be done to him. And the next verse, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. No cruelty of punishment, but a punishment fitting the crime. Verse 21, he that kills a beast, he shall restore it. And if he kills a man, he shall be put to death. Murder is a capital offense, but other forms of killing or loss are not. So not only is the punishment to suit the crime, it's done in ways that help repair the damage. Verse 22, you shall have one manner of law as well for the stranger as for one of your own country. Once again, equality before the law, a very basic principle of the rule of law that all countries should evolve to, but they haven't all made it yet. No favoritism toward the rich, because he might reward you with a favor. No favoritism toward the poor, because you pity him. Works both ways. Okay, Deuteronomy 1. We're skipping over the book of Numbers. There's nothing there on the subject of laws for fairness. But Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17. Some of these duplicate. Of course, Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law, so we would expect some duplication. Deuteronomy 1, verse 17. You shall not respect persons in judgment. You shall hear the small as well as the great. No one is above the law. Verse 14 through 20, I won't read them all, but they are principles to guide the king, especially in not seeking wealth. And power, anyone's power is not to be a means to gain wealth, just as anyone's wealth is not to be a means to gain power. History would have been so much different if that principle were obeyed. Short section. Next section is Deuteronomy chapter 19. This is the fourth section, Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. I won't read it, but it's a judgment about someone who murders somebody else and then tries to seek protection by fleeing to one of the cities of refuge, which are meant to protect a man against execution for manslaughter. Okay, what is fair is that, no, it's not going to work. He is guilty of murder. He suffers the penalty. Verse 14, you shall not remove your neighbor's landmark. It's probably a later judgment that Moses made. It's a form of stealing. Encroaching on your neighbor's property would be a form of stealing. Verse 15, one witness shall not rise up against a man for iniquity. At the mouth of two or three witnesses shall the matter be established. Obviously a safeguard for fairness in the courts, taking into account human fallibility, eyewitnesses can be wrong. You need two or three witnesses. No one is allowed to make up a lie to cheat his neighbor. Life would be so much simpler, wouldn't it, if everyone obeyed the ninth commandment. Verse 16, if a false witness rise up against any man, then when it's discovered, verse 19, then you shall do unto him as he had thought to do unto his brother. An eye for an eye, verse 21, and your eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, etc. Punishment fits the crime. Not cruel punishment, but not overlooked, and not punishment in the form of vengeance, but equal to the crime. Fifthly, fifth section of the law which deals with fairness. Again, why am I saying this? Because Micah said, oh, God has shown you, oh man, what is good, right? And here he is showing us what is good, what is just. Chapter 22, Deuteronomy 22. Just a short, verse 22 says, if a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, then they shall both of them die. Adultery is a very serious thing. Extremely important. By the way, in the New Testament, in John 8, where the woman caught in adultery is brought before Jesus, they're violating this law, aren't they? They brought the woman, but not the man, but there's not to be a double standard. Both are guilty. And verse 17 of the next chapter, I'll just add there to this group, because it says, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. It's an extension of commandment number 7, that, as Mr. Shaw emphasized last week, all sex outside of marriage is a sin. Section 6 of 8. Section 6 that deals with justice is Deuteronomy 23. Deuteronomy 23, when you come into your neighbor's vineyard, then you may eat your fill of grapes at your pleasure, but you shall not put any in your vessel. And when you come into the standing grain of your neighbor, you may pluck the ears with your hand, but you shall not move a sickle into your neighbor's standing grain. Kind of an exception to what we might consider stealing, you know. This is not our custom in this country, is it? We have a more restrictive idea of private property. Other countries are not like that. England, I know there's a common law that allows you to walk on other people's property to get from one place to another. So maybe we should rethink our ideas about what is illegal based upon God's standard. Number 7. These are short sections, right? Deuteronomy chapter 7, number 7 is Deuteronomy 24. Verse 7, if a man be found stealing any of his brethren, the children of Israel, and makes merchandise of him, then that thief shall die. That's kidnap. Kidnap to sell into slavery, that is stealing of a life. The penalty was death. Verse 16, fathers shall not be put to death for their children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. This is individual accountability. We are each accountable for our own sins. We have to consider that. Nobody else responsible for our sin. They're not somebody else's fault. And section 8 is Deuteronomy chapter 25. Deuteronomy 25, verse 2, and it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, then the judge shall cause him to lie down and be beaten before his face according to his fault by a certain number. 40 stripes he may give and not exceed. Right. Corporal punishment. We don't practice corporal punishment in this country, do we? So another principle maybe we need to rethink based upon God's definition of justice. But note, it was limited to fit the crime. It was not cruel or unusual punishment. However, it would avoid the expensive and, I would say, counterproductive system of justice that we use in this country of imprisonment, which is counterproductive and unfair. For certain crimes, corporal punishment would work well, according to God. Now, maybe you not believe me, but it's not my opinion. God says corporal punishment would work. Verse 4, you shall not muzzle the ox when he treads out the grain. Well, that seems like a principle of kindness to animals, but you know, Paul quotes it and cites it in the New Testament and applies it to people. That's in 1 Corinthians 9:9. He applies the principle to human beings being worthy of their pay. Pay a fair wage. This is a form, a law about justice, kindness, fairness, not kindness, but you're not being kind to pay your employee. You're being just, fair, to pay your employee a fair wage. 25:13, you shall not have in your bag diverse weights, great and small. 15, you shall have a perfect and just weight. That's a duplicate. We saw that earlier in Leviticus 19, but it highlights the fact that fairness is a major matter of the law. It's not all criminal justice. It's about treating people fairly. It runs the whole gamut of fairness. It is a weightier matter of the law for all of us. Micah said, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And the law, we just reviewed it, has shown us what is good, what is just, what is fair. As far as elsewhere in the Bible, I just want to turn to one psalm on the subject of fairness, God's attitude toward it, Psalm 15. Psalm 15 is a very short psalm, 5 verses, sums up the principles of fairness that we saw in the law. Psalm 15, verse 1, Lord, who will abide in your tabernacle? Who will dwell in your holy hill? It's quite a reminiscent of Micah's question, isn't it? What does the Lord require of you? What's he looking for in his family? The psalmist goes on, verse 2, he that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, he that backbites not his tongue, not to go up and down as a talebearer, the law says, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. Verse 4, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he, God, honors them that fear the Lord. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not. Now that's a hard one. What kind of businessman gives a price, you know, and then sticks to it despite changing circumstances? And that is the kind of person you want to do business with. Though I think certainly a laborer, the other principle is that the laborer is worthy of his hire, so I would think to be just to a contractor who discovers that he has to do a lot more than he thought, you would want to treat him fairly. Verse 5 says, he that puts not out his money to usury, nor takes reward against the innocent, he that does these things will never be moved. Putting out money to usury is prohibited in the law, but I would put that under the category of kindness. But taking a bribe to be a false witness is unjust. The just would never do it. Thomas says it is the one who is both fair and kind then who will stand. Who will abide in your tabernacle? In the end, when all is said and done, love of neighbor is both fair and kind. and in the prophets. There are lots of things said in the prophets about justice and fairness. To cite one in Isaiah 33, beginning of Isaiah 33, verse 14. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us will dwell with the devouring fire? That is, who will dwell with God? Who among us will dwell with everlasting burnings or with unquenchable fire, which is God? Who will dwell with God? Verse 15, he that walks righteously and speaks upright, he that despises the gain of oppressions, using wealth for power, power for wealth, that shakes his hands from the holding of bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of blood, shuts his eyes from seeing evil, he will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. And many places, many, many places in the prophets, God expresses how angry he is because of the injustice, the unfairness that is going on in Israel. And Micah, going back to the prophets, the prophet Micah is denouncing what's going wrong in Israel and Judah. And he begins chapter 2 of Micah 2, verse 1. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand to oppress or cheat other people. Doesn't say that, but that's implied. It is in their power to do unjustly. Verse 2, and they covet fields and take them by violence, and houses and take them away. And so they oppress a man and his house, even a man in his heritage. And that's why when we get to chapter 8, Micah says, of the three broad principles that God wants from us, the first one is fairness. It's the minimum standard. There's also kindness, which is a little higher level. In the New Testament, just one last section here, in the New Testament, three times, Paul cites Habakkuk 2:4. The just will live by faith. Habakkuk is using the word just in its general meaning. As I said, hesed has a very broad general meaning. It means to do right. But fairness is definitely a part of that doing right. Habakkuk opens chapter 1 with these words. I'll cite Habakkuk 1, verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear, even cry out unto you of violence and you will not save? Verse 3, why do you show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? He's looking around at what's happening in Israel and Judah. For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore, in verse 4, the law is slacked, and judgment, or fairness, never goes forth. For the wicked compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceeds. Judah is not following the law. There is no fairness, there is no kindness. God is going to punish, he says, them. He's going to punish Judah by bringing the Babylonians down on them. And that leads us up to Habakkuk 2:4, where it says, the just will live because of his faithfulness. The just will live through the Babylonian invasion because of their faithfulness. And that's why Paul cites this three times. In Galatians and Romans and Hebrews, except that in the New Testament, to live is to see eternal life at the resurrection. The just will live. The resurrection of the just. Remember in Luke, Jesus refers to the resurrection as the resurrection of the just. So, anyway, there are two great commandments. You all know, as Jesus said in Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. Micah and chapter 23 break down those two laws into three parts. To do to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Or judgment, mercy, and faith. To do justly or to practice judgment is to follow God's standards. What treating people in a way that is fair to them is. We just define that in the law, what is fair. We are actually called upon to do more than that. There is more than be fair. The other element is mercy. It's the second part of loving your neighbor. Mercy or kindness is an even harder standard, a higher standard than just justice. But love of neighbor is both fairness and kindness. God is going to have a family that has that spirit of fairness, of kindness, and of faithfulness. And I think it's helpful to review those three things sometimes when you are kneeling and you wonder what to talk about. You should ask, am I faithful? Am I fair? Am I kind?